Hey, this is episode 90, and I'm talking with Colin and Michelle of TeacherTactics.com. They are both high school teachers who have a wonderful podcast, an informative website, and many teaching tips to share. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, today I'm talking with Michelle and Colin from TeacherTactics.com. They have a wonderful website and audio podcast that are focused on helping classroom teachers. They both have worked with students from 8th grade through 12th. They have worked full-time under temporary contracts and substituted. Michelle is an English teacher, but currently is not teaching English. Instead, she is teaching elective classes like graphic design, yearbook, photography, and others. Colin is a business education teacher, and his degree emphasized marketing. Their website has some awesome resources for classroom teachers, and their podcast is a must listen as it covers everything from strategies for the classroom to working with difficult colleagues. Say hi, Colin and Michelle.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Thank you so much for joining me, and we're going to come back in just a minute to your podcast and your website and the different resources that you provide. But let's go ahead and start talking teaching, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Cool. And so I'm going to start with this. When my kids were little, a popular show was Barney. And by the way, I've got so many Barney songs stuck in my head. And it's just, you know, they're just there. And my kids right now, if they were listening to this, they're in college. So they would be going, Dad, please stop.
Collective groan.
There you go. One of Barney's shows introduced us to the Barney bag. And it's just, I love this song, by the way. And it's one of these things that the Barney bag, what happens is Barney comes into the, you know, into the area, into the room, and the kids are sitting around bored and they don't know what to do. And there's the dinosaur BJ. He's sitting there and, you know, they're all like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to do. And so he says, this looks like a job for the Barney bag. And he pulls out this giant bag. And of course, through the magic of TV, you know, all kinds of stuff starts coming out and they have a great learning experience based on that. Well, I like to talk about the Barney bag as that tool bag that where teachers have all those special tactics and strategies and things that are going to help them work with the kids, help them get it. And what I'd like to start with is, do you have any special tools or strategies that you like to use with your kids to help them get it?
Yeah, I think we both have different sort of tactics or strategies that we go to.
Mm-hmm.
I think my go-to is a bit silly. I know I work with high school kids, but I think story is a big element for me. So I like personification. I like to use a story to help them remember if I can relate the material that way.
Very cool. That doesn't sound silly at all. Story is awesome.
Well, you've got some great examples of that too. Can you talk about the memory cards?
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. So I was having a hard time for a while getting my kids to take care of the SD cards that we use in photography to go in the cameras. They were getting lost and I was having to replace them. So I thought if we named them and gave them little personalities and then we put them up in the classroom and made them members of our class, that they would form an emotional attachment to these little things and they would take care of them. Psychological warfare.
Nice. Yeah. Very, very cool. Good. So they respond well to that. I guess that's where I'm going with that.
For sure. Yeah. You know, where's the blue SD card versus where's Bob is very effective.
Nice.
It works really well. Yeah.
Excellent. So Colin, how about you?
One thing that has worked well for me is using humor in the classroom. You know, and sometimes that's with the lesson itself, and I've got, you know, videos or songs or things like that that are funny. But I think a bigger one, too, is with my relationship with students. One thing over the last couple of years that I've found has been really effective is just trying to be more light and positive and use humor with students. And that doesn't mean that I'm any kind of less firm. But as long as I kind of say things with a smile or a little bit of a joke, that really helps kind of to form a stronger connection instead of, you know, you should be doing this or do that. And I think that's been really effective for me.
Excellent. You know, one of the things that's cool about teaching is helping kids get it, and the light bulb goes on and all that sort of stuff. And it's hard to explain to people who've never taught or think they may know what the classroom's all about. That's where the magic of teaching is to me, is that just that interaction and trying to figure out how to help the kids get it. And I appreciate you all sharing those strategies that you have. So let's go into some of your episodes, because in one of your episodes, you talk specifically about five hooks for getting the kids into the class or content. Let's talk about this for just a second. The five hooks, tell me what you think of when you think of the hooks, because I like this show a lot, because it really gets to the idea of how to get the kids, sucked into the class, but sucked into the class.
No, we want to suck them in. We want to do it. we go over a few different things that have worked really well for us. I think when I think of a good hook, the element of intrigue has to be there, right? We want them to be curious. We want them to be excited. We want them to be drawn in, right?
I think that's really important. A lot of the suggestions that we kind of had in terms of dressing up or bringing in a prop or telling a story or having some kind of challenge, they all have, a little bit of intrigue and mystery, and students aren't quite sure what's going to happen. And I think that's such a great way to start things off, get them curious, get them thinking beyond whatever it is that we're actually going to be teaching in that lesson.
I got to tell you, I love that part. I don't know if you've ever seen in the 1980s, there was a movie, by the way, I'm 80s thing here, all right? There was a movie.
We won't tell you what year we were born.
Please don't. I'm really afraid, because I... But anyway, there's a movie from the 80s called Teachers, and in that movie, there's a character played by Richard Mulligan, and he uses costumes and so forth. And I was in college when that movie was out, and that character is something that I wanted to figure out how to make history fun, because I had very boring history teachers, and I was trying to figure out, and so costumes was my thing. So when I've listened to your thing about the hooks, and I was hearing you guys talk about costumes, I'm like, yes, all right.
Yeah, and high school is not too old for that. They love it.
I think anytime you can make fun of yourself,
oh my gosh,
and be self-deprecating, students love it, because all the time, you know, you're kind of in the position of power, and there's that sort of dynamic there. So if you can come in and you're dressed and kind of goofy or silly, and
what if you buy in, they buy in.
Exactly. So I think we've both done it, dressed up at different points of time, and it's been a lot of fun. It's also fun as a teacher too, to you get to go to work and wear a toga or whatever, and it's lots of fun.
Yeah.
Very nice, especially because there's nothing better than also keeping your colleagues guessing. Oh my gosh, what are you today, man?
Right. What's this one?
Yes, exactly. And that's what I was going to say, is that one of the things I think makes kids like it is that you kind of keep them off balance. They're like, uh-oh. Yeah, you're up to something today, aren't you?
Yep. Got to keep them guessing. Keep them on their toes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think high school kids too often, adults want to, I hate to say it this way also, but I'm going to say it this way. Some adults suck the life out of the excitement of of learning. And, if you can add some, spark to it, which those hooks that you talk about, and I especially like the idea of the dressing up thing, really help do that. And I think that's pretty cool. So let's kind of shift gears to another episode where you talk about three elements of effective feedback. I'm currently working with teachers on the ideas behind feedback, and I love this episode, and I'd love to hear you just talk a little bit about why you think teachers should know something about providing feedback.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this a few times. I think it's really important for teachers to be able to give effective feedback. And we talk about giving feedback that is kind, specific, and helpful, because teachers' words hold weight. And the things that we say to our students, I think they really take to heart. So it's important to give them the feedback in a timely fashion so that they can incorporate it into their work and learn from it.
I think it's also important to be kind of careful, as Michelle was saying. I've had situations where, you know, sometimes you say something and it's off the cuff and you don't realize what effect that can have on the students. So, and they take in more than you realize, I think. You know,
they're sponges.
There's times when I've, you know, had past colleagues who have sort of been talking, just the two of them, but the class is right there and they are listening. So, you know, in all, whether you're giving a kind of official feedback or you're assessing students or it's just unofficial stuff just during the class, it helps to be kind, specific, and helpful.
Definitely.
Nice. And it is kind of funny that way where, you know, imagine that, they're listening.
imagine, even when you think they are.
Exactly. That's good stuff. That's, you know, feedback to me is one of those tools that a teacher that you just keep getting better at it, and it's going to help because that focused on helping the kids understand what they need to do better is key. So thanks. I also want to talk, you have several episodes where you talk about classroom management, actually episodes 5 through 8. And oftentimes I teach a class on classroom management and actually go in and work with, I go and observe teachers who are struggling a little bit and then try and give them some help and pointers and give them some suggestions on how to, in some cases, totally recoup from what's happened. You know, one of the episodes that you have that I love is the one about the classroom arrangement, actually. That's, which I think is a pretty cool thing that often don't think about. What I'd like to do is, what advice would you share with a colleague who has lost control of their class?
I think the most important thing to remember is that it's never too late to try something new and to switch things up. You know, you hear a lot about the importance of the first impression and starting things off right when you first meet your students, and that's absolutely true. But not to lose hope that you won't be able to change or kind of make things better over time.
Yeah.
And definitely I would talk about classroom arrangements. I know you mentioned that episode. And changing the seating plan, for me at least, is the easiest thing you can do. The easiest thing.
It's a total game changer.
Yeah. And, you know, by separating students that don't work well together or putting students at the front that need a little bit more attention, you can avoid getting into the situation in the first place a lot of the time, and it's really, really helpful.
Yeah. I like that tack. Like, Tommy, this is not a punishment. I'm moving you so that you can be more successful over here.
I like that.
Win-win.
Yes. Yes. And since you mentioned that, I want to take it there also. I think that's something that it's kind of like a theme through your classroom management topics is trying to create win-win. And can you just kind of go there for a minute?
Absolutely. We talk about that quite a bit.
You know, an example, if you're changing the seating plan, instead of saying, okay, this is a punishment because you're not working well, you can just say, hey, I want to try something new.
This is an opportunity for you to get to meet someone new in the classroom.
Absolutely.
Nice.
And it's really hard to argue against that as a student. You really can't push back against positive
things. You get to make
things.
New friends.
Yeah.
I like that. Yes, that's most definitely, because I can hear a couple of them complaining right now going, yeah, right, okay. But I'll do it. You're good. Because I think some of what, in listening to your episodes, one of the things that kind of is a theme through there is the way developing that relationship with the kids, which helps them respond to you then better, which, just like what you just said, but I could just see, you know, there's some situation going on and you say, you know, I got an idea here. We need to kind of change the neighborhood a little bit. And so we're going to shift you over here and make new friends. And I would think that a big part of that working also has to do with, you know, they've bought into the two of you, and they've bought into you as a classroom teacher, and that helps. Can you talk about building relationships just a little bit?
Yeah, I would say that's your number one resource for classroom management, is having a strong relationship with your kids. Being your authentic self, allowing them to get to know you. That's how I spend my first couple days, just getting to know the kids and letting them get to know me. And you just go from there.
A lot of times the teachers who do lose control, like the example I gave you, there is a lack of relationship. it's missing. It's one of the key components. You'll find it. You'll walk in and go, yeah, I think it goes beyond just the idea of management. It actually has, can we figure out how to connect with them also? And I think that's very important. So thanks. What I'd like to do is let's shift just a little bit here. I noticed that you both have experience as substitute teachers. You're talking to somebody who, when I came to Georgia, I had gone to school in Florida and ended up finding my way to Atlanta. And as I'm interviewing for jobs, I'm a history teacher, and I'm a history teacher who doesn't know anybody. All right. and I'm looking for that first job, and I had some rather interesting interviews. For example, like somebody wanted me to coach middle school cheerleaders, which I thought that was interesting.
Oh, gosh.
I'm thinking, what?
A bit out of my wheelhouse, but...
yes, quite a bit out of my wheelhouse. And at the time, looking like a soldier still. I had been off for 6 months in some training. I had graduated and from my undergrad program, but had to go to officer training for 6 months and in communication school. And it was just kind of funny because we had been out in the woods for 4 days doing war games, and I get this call to come for an interview after I get out of the woods. And that was quite an interesting...
And do you coach cheerleaders?
Yes, exactly. Wow, I'm thinking, really? Okay, just as a note, I didn't get that job. I'm not quite sure it was a look on my face or what, but so anyway, what I was going to say was that eventually I'm moving to the area no matter what, and the interviews that I had didn't quite work out, so I end up substituting, and I end up working primarily, even though I started in one county, another county started using me quite a bit, and so I had a nice experience, which led to my first teaching job. Do you have any experiences from substituting specifically that helped shape you as a teacher or helped you, if nothing else, appreciate substitutes?
Oh, I definitely appreciate substitutes a lot more. And now that I'm, you know, teaching in my own classroom, I tell my students it's not an easy job. And, you know, it's for them, it's only an hour and 15 minutes, but just to treat them well because it's really tough. I've been all over the place. Yeah, so I'm a business education teacher, but I've gone in from everything from kindergarten to French immersion to
music.
Yeah.
Elementary music.
Elementary music, which is not easy. Yeah. Very different from my training and sort of background. I think what helped me most is just kind of being prepared for having to wing it, because that's often what's going to happen. There's been a couple times where you show up and there's no notes there and you kind of got to work on your feet and try to figure out what to do next. And that might be a group of 8-year-olds and you're used to teaching 17 and 18-year-olds instead. So I've had a list of activities and games that I kind of print out and bring with me. And I think we talked about that on a recent podcast. Mm-hmm. Some of our favorites.
Kind of like you're saying, the Barney bag. Have your,
yeah,
have
exactly.
Your substitute teacher Barney bag ready to go.
And, you know, kind of sponge activities. If you've got an extra 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes of time you need to fill up. And I think the most important thing is just to make sure that they're doing something. So most of the time they'll have something, but you want to keep them busy. Hopefully they're learning, but if they're not learning, at least they're
not
doing an activity and
fire.
they're engaged somehow.
Very important. I hear your pain there, because it's my very first, I'll never forget my very first sub job. My very first sub job was in a graphic arts design classroom and it was in a classroom where he taught something else in there as well that had lots of tools. And there's a big note that says, don't let them touch the machines or the tools. Good luck. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, good luck. It's like, where have you left me? You know, and that taught me just exactly what you're talking about, which is, it taught me two lessons. One, when I become a teacher, I'm never going to leave a note like that. Number two, that it taught me that you have to be able to think on your feet, and you have to develop your, you know, what am I going to do if there's nothing there? Or my favorite one was, they leave an assignment that takes the kids all of 5 minutes if they waste time in the middle of it and try and draw it out, you know. Thanks, nice, all right.
Yeah, and you get a lot of work periods too. I think with our system at least, you know, if you run out of English teachers, they're going to start calling from other subjects and you might not know how to teach English or whatever it is that subject is. I think you're right too. Having that experience, the first time that I went as an associate teacher and there was 20 minutes left, I thought, okay, what happens now? So what do you want to do? And now I've been a lot better at just kind of setting the tone and making sure that we've got something to do.
Excellent. The image that comes to mind are kids wanting literally, where's the sub? Oh, duct tape to the ceiling, huh?
No one will find him there.
I can't imagine you had too much difficult time with the music, though, because music seems to be a thing that you do.
Yes, actually. So the music was fun because I've got a background in it. What I don't have the background in is teaching it to 6-year-olds.
Gotcha. Okay.
Definitely. it was a lot of fun because of that enthusiasm, as you were kind of saying, that in elementary school, kids love learning.
They're so excited.
And so, you know, even though there were some tough days as a substitute, there's also some great ones too, and you can make those great kind of instant connections sometimes with music. Yeah.
Which is excellent. But you're right. I can just imagine with all the 6-year-olds you're going,
Yeah, this is a new one.
Yes. I substituted in a band, a middle school band that had like 60 kids, and I'm going, wow. All right, you all got noisemakers. This is good. So fun stuff. That one he had left. That was a band director though who had left them instructions, and so when I went in there, they knew what they were supposed to do. That was cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, like that.
I literally had to do almost nothing except make sure roll was taken, and then let them have hall passes once in a while. And that's the opposite of the never forget. Cool. We got these substitute experiences going, and kind of have a benefit for you as a teacher, which is neat. Let's now shift into talking about your podcast. I love the way you break the podcast into segments. The songs are really neat, and I just wondered, you know, where'd the idea come from, and is there, you know, now that you have these different segments, is there a part that's your favorite?
Oh, that's all Colin.
I think
he's a bit musical.
I love writing music, and you know, I think it's kind of a beg, borrow, steal kind of situation where a lot of the podcasts that I really like listening to have those segments, and they've got a little musical cue that starts it. And it's something you kind of look forward to each week. Oh, you know, this is the next segment. Here's the little jingle.
I think Colin made the podcast so that he could write the jingle.
I do like writing jingles.
Nice.
So for each segment we have a little segment jingle that I sing. And we were just talking about this before the podcast here, and I think my favorite is Your Homework, which is a segment where we kind of give suggestions for things to do in the classroom. And I'm not going to sing it here, but it's...
I can see it in his eyes.
Your Homework. Yeah. Try this in your classroom. I'm actually not a very good singer either. I've found out how to use auto-tune really well, where you can almost hide it.
He's being modest. He's a very decent singer.
I'm a very, very okay singer, yeah.
Well, I think they sound great. Matter of fact, that's my favorite one out of the ones, that song, that Homework one.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's very catchy.
It is very catchy, and my colleagues are going to wonder, what the heck are you singing, man?
Right, you're going to be strolling down the halls and, yeah.
Try us in your classroom. That was close, wasn't it? Anyway.
Yeah, it was. It was good.
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely.
Thanks.
We should re-record it with you, Steve. You can sing.
Oh, gee, thank you. Yeah, that'll go real well. Hey, what happened to our listeners? Hello. I'm disappointed, Colin, that you backed out of that. I like the idea that Michelle was challenging to actually sing it for us. Come on. You can do it.
Oh,
sing it.
Yes, yeah, sing it, sing it, sing it.
What if we chant? Peer pressure?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Your homework. Yeah. Try this in your classroom.
Pretty good.
Awesome. Yay. Very nice.
Good job.
And so what's cool about that is that what you're actually doing is you're asking them to, here's something that we'd like you to try, right?
Yes. Yeah. Easy to implement.
Absolutely. We keep our podcast pretty short, but I still think it's nice to have, okay, here's that action item. Like, so you've gone through, you listened to all this, and maybe that kind of clues you in and says, okay, this is what I'm going to try this week.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Good stuff. Well, let's actually now use that to segue into other aspects of that both of you are involved in. For example, Colin, you have instructional videos on YouTube under Mr. Colin Dodds, and some of which deal with work, and I love it. I don't know where your entourage comes from, by the way. Are they local actors or somebody that you hire, or are they just you just have lots of interesting
they
friends?
They are our friends that we bribe with food.
Nice,
Very kind friends, yeah.
I do have to tell you, though, if I was the friend who got bribed with a giant bell pepper, I don't know. I think I'm not so sure.
Kind of a raw deal.
Yes, ba-dum-bum. I like that. That's good. The head of lettuce there also is one of those things. It's like, okay, that's... That's the unique choice.
The raw onion is my favorite.
Nice. You've got some catchy tunes in those also, by the way. And
thank you.
One of the things I do is I put together some workshops for pre-service teachers, and I talk to them about how to search for a teaching job, and then what to do once you do get a, you know, how to do the resume and things like this, and how to what to do when you get the interview, and I'll now be sharing with them some of your videos, because those are, besides being catchy, you've got some great thoughts in them, and so that's very cool. So kind of share with us, where's that coming from? What is that that you're doing there?
So when I was a student teacher, I chaperoned the high school dance, and I think that's kind of a rite of passage for for pre-service teachers.
Definitely.
In our area, at least.
Yep.
That,
okay.
Yeah, you know, you start your practicum, there's the spring dance or the Halloween dance or whatever it is. And I was at the dance and listening to the music, you know, the popular kind of top 40. And I was thinking, okay, this music's really catchy, but it also seems to have gotten kind of simple. I think I could make something like that. And so I went home and I thought, okay, can I really write as catchy a song as I can? And I thought, well, why don't I make it about accounting? Because that's what I'm teaching right now in school. And so during my practicum, I kind of worked on this, and I on my very last day, I showed the video to my students, because if I made the song, I might as well do a video too. And it just kind of took off, and I am kind of astounded at the number of people that have watched these videos, and it's just been a lot of fun to do. I love writing songs and music, and I love that people and students all around the world can just search it up on YouTube and listen to it. And I also get to use it in my class too. I tell my students, okay, this is chapter 4 right now.
Excellent.
Just watch this song.
And the song that he's talking about that he wrote when he was a student teacher is Debit Credit Theory.
Ah.
And it has been copied all over the world, played all over. And I often get phone calls in the high school that I teach at, because most of my colleagues know Colin. And so I'll get a phone call to my classroom, Ms. Davis, listen. And they hold the phone up, and there's Debit Credit Theory playing in the background.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, they love it.
Well, I got to tell you that, sorry, I don't mean anything by this, but accounting's got to be right up there with history when it comes to... thinking about,
you're not wrong.
Kids thinking of songs about it, huh? Yeah, okay. There's a go right out and buy that album. But you do an excellent job of making it fun and exciting, and that's why I am curious about your friends, because that's if that's who they all are. Wow, they do a great job.
They're very sweet.
They've
friends.
Been very very kind to show up. Many of them many
time
times
and time
over.
Again, yeah. You call, they come.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep writing those, because they're awesome. And I want to switch to, you have ones that are about teaching math, and those are quite catchy tunes as well. And so did like the work ones come first, and then you started working on the math ones, or is that
it? That's exactly it. Yeah, you know, I started with business, and I think we were talking about the Let's Do Lunch one where everyone's eating the vegetables. And
yes.
There's a lot of fun, but not a ton of educational content there. So I thought, okay, if I'm going to do some more ones, I want to really try to teach some of the concepts. And so that was the math ones. And they've been a lot of fun too. I love the feedback that you can get online because it's unvarnished. And these are things that students wouldn't tell me in a classroom, but because they don't know me and it's anonymous, I get students saying, oh, thank you so much. Like, I understand this now.
And this song's been stuck in my head for a week.
Yeah. Why did you write this? I can't get it out of my head. I'm singing about rational numbers. And but it's been a lot of fun. And so I made more because people seem to like them.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Hey, and look forward to seeing more of them. So you got a talent for it, so keep it going. I'll put some links to them in the show notes when we do this, because you got to watch these things and listen to them, because you will be humming some of these songs, singing them actually. And it's good stuff. So Michelle, let's talk about you have created a photography company called Bishop and Lind, and I love those sample images. And so a photography teacher is actually in the business. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's very weird, because I've hired a lot of photography teachers, and I think you would be the first one who actually has a business line going for it, which is also a weird thing. You'd think more of them would. So does it help you with your teaching, working with the kids?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it makes a big difference, because I tell my kids, you know, no one told me in high school that this was a job, that photography was a thing that people would pay you to do, that you could make a living doing it. So I kind of approach it like I'm giving you a trade. I'm giving you a skill, and what you choose to do with it is up to you. So we build a portfolio, and I give them real world experience, and I have real world connections too. I actually just gave one of my former students a gig with one of my photographer colleagues, and now she's apprenticing with her and learning from her, and it's really cool to see them kind of learn and grow in that industry.
Very cool. Well, I know that both your backgrounds really kind of lend to your areas that you teach, and that's awesome, because that just I can just imagine just really helps you with ideas for what you do and interact with the kids, especially in helping them answer questions, because you have those real world involvement, I guess is where I'm going with that. So
yeah, great.
So to this point, do each of you have a favorite memory from teaching? Have you got something that just sticks out over the last couple of years that just like I'm going to remember this forever?
I think my favorite memory was after my first teaching contract. So after I substituted, my first job was 3 months in a classroom. I took over last minute. I had 7 different preps that I had to prepare for. And, you know, it was a lot of work. It was my first time being in the classroom full time. And I felt like throughout the whole of it, like I'm just kind of treading water. And we're both, I think, kind of perfectionists a little bit. But then at the end of the contract, just in the last couple of days when I was leaving, I had students coming up to me and just thanking me. And, you know, some of them wrote me cards and things like that. And that was kind of my first glimpse at seeing that gratitude that comes from students.
Yeah.
And that just, it made me really happy to know that they had appreciated it and that they had got something out of it.
Yeah.
So that would be my favorite memory.
That's a good one.
Excellent. Michelle, how about you?
I think my favorite is from when I finished my practicum as a student teacher. I'd been working with an English 11 class, and I loved these kids, and they had an essay due on the last day of class.
Nice.
A little going away gift. And they said, Ms. Davis, we didn't finish any of our papers. None of us finished them. And then they went to the back of the room and they pulled out the stack of papers that were in fact finished and a whole spread, cakes and treats and goodies. And they had a whole party that they'd put together to say goodbye.
Nice.
And they had built, I'm quite short, I'm 5'2". And my sponsor teacher was 6'4" at the time. So his whiteboards were way too high for me to reach. And so I'd often just grab a chair and write on the whiteboard. And they had built in shop a wooden stool for me, and they'd all signed it. And they wished me well with my little stool. And I still use that stool today to reach the top of my whiteboard.
That's excellent. That is excellent. Well, I appreciate you guys sharing those. What I'd like to do now is we're getting close to closing. And how can the audience follow up with you?
So the best way would be to listen to our podcast, Teacher Tactics. If you search on iTunes or any of the podcast apps, you should be able to find it. You could also go to teachertactics.com, and we've got all of our show notes and things like that posted there.
Yeah.
But if you want to get in touch with us directly, and we love hearing from people, you can send us a note to hello@teachertactics.com.
Excellent. And by the way, when they follow your website, they get some goodies. You want to talk about those?
Oh, yes. We have treats.
Yeah, really good ones. So we really want to kind of spread the word of the podcast. So if you go to Teacher Tactics and you sign up for our mailing list, so we'll send you an email each week with the outline of the podcast. We've got two things right now. One is a PDF download of 44 ways to check for understanding. So it's a really nice way to look at something real quick and say, okay, hey, how can I assess in my classroom in kind of a creative way, or 44 creative ways, as it was. And then we've also got what we call our starter kit, which is 25 tactics and strategies in some different categories that have worked out really well for us. So saving time marking and brain breaks and lesson hooks and stuff
just
like that.
Just kind of getting yourself set up.
Excellent. They're chock full of all kinds of really cool items. And one of the things I like is that when you sign up, you have it where it pops up where you can easily share it on Twitter, and where to come back to get your to connect with you guys. And I like that sort of easy way of reconnecting people. I'm stumbling here, but I... What I'm talking about is, what I love is the fact that it makes it easy to reconnect with you guys, and so sending people back to your website and such. So it's awesome.
So, thanks.
I'll stop talking there. I was like, gee whiz.
Getting all excited about these goodies.
Yes. They're very thorough. What I was trying to say is that they're it's awesome what you've got there. It's not just like, you know, some websites you join and you get just like this one-page list that, you know, I'm pretty sure somebody used a typewriter.
Oh yeah, I've seen those. Okay, you're talking about.
Wow, that's not yours. You have it. I mean, you got your theme all throughout it, and it's just very nice and very professional looking. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, as we close, I have two questions that I want to ask you both that I like to ask my guests. And the first one is this: if you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
You sent us this question ahead of time, and Colin and I both read it and thought about it carefully. And the first thing that came to my head was, it's so much harder than you think it will be.
Nice.
But after thinking that initially, I thought what I would tell them is ask for help in every way you can. Ask for help, beg, borrow, and steal. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. Someone else has done it, and you can take from them. It's okay. And Colin and I are both perfectionists, so a big lesson in my first years has been it's okay to just be okay, you know? You have 7 different classes that you have to prep for, so you don't have to knock it out of the park every time.
Excellent advice.
Yeah, I think to add on to that as well, the practicum experience, I think for both of us, was so great because you're getting that constant feedback. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you're in the classroom, you're there with other students, but it's quite isolating a lot of the time. And it's easy for you to get isolated, I think, because that's certainly something that happened to me when I started teaching. So just like Michelle was saying, reach out to as many people as possible, as many colleagues as you can. And one of our latest podcasts was about finding a mentor.
Yes.
And if you can, finding one at your school and someone that you can just chat with, that you're connecting with, so that you're not just going into your classroom and you've got your head down kind of all day focusing on you know, getting your classes done. So I think that's really, really important to make those connections.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you both. That's great advice for not just new teachers. I love that. Thank you. And so my last one is this. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
I think we both have had teachers who made a profound influence. My English 12 teacher when I was in high school was probably the most influential teacher I've ever had. To him, I would say, thank you for seeing me. He recognized that I had a passion for English, and he really encouraged that and gave great feedback and allowed me to be a human being in his classroom, not just a student. He really saw me.
And I would like to thank, I'm going to call him out.
Do it.
Mr. Harding, who was my biology teacher back in high school. And he encouraged me. He, you know, helped me kind of reach my potential and was very kind and motivating. And he also was a fantastic teacher. His lessons were always exciting and interesting. And there was that intrigue that we kind of talked about earlier. And also, when I was thinking about going into teaching, I sent him a note and I said, do you have any suggestions for me? And he said, why don't we meet and talk about it? And so we spent an evening and he wrote notes and said, okay, here's why I think you're going to be a great teacher and here's what I would suggest. And it was fantastic. So thank you, Mr. Harding, if you're listening to this.
Excellent. Appreciate you both sharing those stories. I think that you know, it's neat to hear how teachers were impacted by teachers. And I think that's awesome. So thank you very much. I wish you both the very best. I thank you so much for all the, not just for joining me today, but for all the resources that you provide. I'm enjoying your shows. I've gone back and listened to all of them now and I'm caught up. And I've done my binge listening and love them. That's why I know some of your songs so well now. And potent quotables. Anyway.
That was really good.
That was excellent.
You know, Steven on these.
Thanks. I literally, like I said, I got them down and people are going to think I'm nuts and going to bring out the white jackets. Why? What are you singing? It's very entertaining, very, very informative. And you both very, just play very well, interact very well together. And your voices and so forth, and it's just it's easy to listen to and hear what your message is, and I think that lots of people will be learning from you by listening. The more you provide, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's really wonderful to hear that.
Thank you again for joining me, and I wish you all the best. And I appreciate all the time you spent talking with me tonight.
It was great chatting with you, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.